It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, December 4th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, NASA's Orion spacecraft will get a 4.5-hour test flight. It won't have astronauts aboard, but that's the eventual goal. Part of it is about having U.S.-based ferrying between Earth and the International Space Station, but also, maybe someday, a human visit to Mars. Some have compared the importance of Orion's mission to the Apollo program that first brought people to the moon, Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
In 1972, President Nixon predicted the space shuttle would revolutionize transportation into near space by routinizing it.
It's still very hard to do, but it had become a little bit more routine over the years.
That's Phil McAllister, the director of commercial spaceflight at NASA. So routine that the shuttle program was axed, and we now pay Russia over $70 million each time we put an astronaut in their Soyuz craft for a ride to the International Space Station. It's a relationship so far unsoured by growing U.S.-Russia friction.
But I think for now, we've seen space be outside of those normal political tensions.
Private American companies like SpaceX hope to send humans to the ISS, just 260 miles above us, for a fraction of the cost. Doug Stanley, the president of the National Institute of Aerospace, says an Orion mission to Mars, which is tens of millions of miles away, is still very much a galactic dream.
The biggest problem we have now is not just funding, but lack of direction and decision-making and leadership.
To say nothing of the non-existent pressure from the public. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
They say it's good to fail fast, but what about fail fast and pay your respects? Recently, BBC technology correspondent Dave Lee went to a venue called Campus in East London to watch a startup funeral. Yep, it is pretty much what it sounds like, and considering the fact that some estimates put the startup failure rate as high as 90%, we might be seeing a lot more of them. Dave Lee is here to talk with us about it. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Ben.
Startup funerals? What's happening here?
Startup events, they happen every night, and they're always about the same thing normally. People come in, they say, this is how you're going to get rich, this is how you're going to get your funding, isn't startup life fantastic? But really, obviously, most of these startups, they don't take off. And the people that ran the startups end up living a life of misery until they finally decide to pack it in and move on. Now, this event gave three people the chance to talk about why their startup failed. And so the idea of the startup funeral is to kind of look back and reflect on the life, the short lives of these startups that didn't make it, to see how people have moved on in their lives and gone on, in most cases, to better things.
Laying the startups to rest, it's an interesting idea. Was everyone wearing black and, you know, giving toasts to how the startup was such a great startup?
I think the interesting thing that struck me about all of the startups, the founders of these startups, when they were talking about it, they're still all convinced they had a good idea and still believed it could work.
So laid to rest, but not necessarily put to rest.
Precisely. Not put to rest to the point where perhaps one day these startups might be knocking on the coffin and trying to be let out and perhaps tried again somewhere down the line.
I suppose this is also proof that our ideas about startup culture are evolving as well, right? And maybe some of that closure, shall we call it, is a good thing?
I think so. I think in terms of the culture of startups, is there's always that phrase, isn't there, of drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to startups or anything with technology, I guess. All you have to do is watch an Apple event and see everyone down the front cheering like Jesus himself has walked into the room. I guess what's happening here instead is that people are just admitting and coming to accept that things aren't always going to be great and that running a startup is really, really hard. I mean, we look at something like the film The Social Network about Facebook, and it seemed all they were doing is coding for a bit and then having parties and having a great time, whereas the reality, obviously, as with any business, whether it's a tech startup or otherwise, is that it's really difficult to get this right. It's really difficult to attract the investment because the perception is that there's just millions of dollars flying around everywhere for anyone that says, I'd like to make an app, please. But really, the case is it's very, very hard to get that money and even more hard to do anything with it once you have it in your bank.
The BBC's Dave Lee. Dave, thank you very much.
No problem, man.
Tim Today at 5 p.m., a Christmas tree for every state gets lit up at the White House. The ceremony's been going on since 1932, but in 2014, there's a twist. Made with Code, the Google-supported project meant to encourage girls to get interested in tech, is helping kids program the lights on the trees. Jeremy Tomlinson of Kansas City, Missouri, will watch his 8-year-old daughter Chloe's design hit the Missouri tree tomorrow. He says even if you're not a tech-savvy parent, some of the new websites for this sort of thing are good for family learning.
I think these particular sites, you know, the Scratch and Code.org and even the Light Up Your Christmas Tree, it's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. I think anybody could catch on pretty well and go through it with their kids. It's definitely something fun to try and work with them.
Okay, so what's Chloe's design? Well, it's a little old school, either made to look that way or maybe in what it reminds her father of.
She used the lava lamp design, so it's kind of a lava lamp kind of looking bubbles kind of going up the tree, so to speak.
Chloe was still in class when we talked with her dad. Tomlinson says she impressed him with how she went about programming the lights.
She's got a really analytical mind where she can just really step through what she's done and figure out the piece that's causing it to not work right and pulls it out and corrects it. To her, it's like a video game. You know, the accomplishment is to get it to work right and see her stuff in motion.
Chloe and Jeremy will watch her design hit the Missouri tree at 5:36 p.m. tomorrow night. We've posted some more information at facebook.com/marketplacetech. And before we go, speaking of Google, the company updated some of the online technology for figuring out whether a user on a website is a person or an evil bot. You know, CAPTCHAs, those strings of letters and numbers you have to type in sometimes to prove you're a human? Well, the tech giant is rolling out a new move, a checkbox that you can click with your mouse. You mean it could have been that easy this whole time? I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.